Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and a quick follow-up to one of the things we discussed earlier in the show, the WNYC report on the HIV drug trials and foster kids from the 1980s who were used in those HIV drug trials, sometimes without parental consent. We're looking for people who may have been personally involved to follow up. So if you were involved in those HIV drug trials in the 1980s, involving foster kids as subjects, whether you were one of the kids and are now grown up, whether you were a medical professional, maybe you were a parent or a foster parent or working in a city agency, or if you know anyone who was, we'd love to hear from you off the air for some follow-up reporting. So contact the WNYC newsroom by sending an email to newstips@wnyc.org. Include the best way for them to get in touch with you. That's newstips@wnyc.org, that email address. Thanks a lot if this applies to you. Now, as the Obama stimulus package makes its way through Congress, we'll continue to dive into the details. We heard from Congressman Bill Pascrell of New Jersey earlier on the infrastructure and health care implications for New Jersey and elsewhere. You heard Dean Baker on how he likes the provision that provides health insurance for unemployed workers. And now let's hone in on the higher education aspects of the bill. Lots of talk out there about all the money being spent at the K through 12 level, but there are also some striking measures in the stimulus package aimed at colleges and universities. Joining us to discuss it is Doug Lederman, editor of Inside Higher Education. Doug, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks very much. Appreciate you having me.
And I gather you had to go in at 10 p.m. last night to go through a paper copy of the stimulus bill in order to find some of the details. How many pages are on higher education?
Well, it's sprinkled throughout. I mean, the bill itself is probably 200 pages or so, and there are lots of different aspects of it that have some implication or other for colleges and universities or for students, either through research or student aid or infrastructure. So there's a bunch of gifts in there, and higher ed certainly is struggling now, and students are having trouble paying for college, and this is aimed at helping both of those, both of them.
So let's go through some of these.
Sure.
Some of these gifts in the stimulus bill, and some of these stimuli.
Sure.
The number that jumps out first for me is the increase in spending on student aid, specifically for Pell Grants. It would go up quite a bit. Should we start there?
Sure, that's fine. I mean, there's slight differences in the two bills. The House bill would increase the Pell Grant by $500 over 2 years. The Senate bill would increase it by, I think it's $281, and then $400 total in over 2 years. And it would also pay off a deficit that's in the Pell Grant program that's built up because there was so much demand for it over the last year or two as the economy started to turn down. But so it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $13 billion for that. That's more or less going to go directly into the pockets of students. The House bill also has some money for work study, college work study. The Senate bill has a little money for loans programs. And then the big difference between the two bills in terms of what's available for students is that the House bill would increase the limit. There are limits on how much students can borrow each year, and the House bill would increase those limits, which would help students at more expensive colleges. Particularly, the Senate bill doesn't contain that, and that'll probably be a fighting point in the two bills when they try to match them up.
Listeners, we have about 10 minutes for this.
Sure.
Any questions you have about the stimulus bill and higher education? Students, parents, anyone else? 212-433-WNYC. Faculty members, administrators, college presidents in our audience, call us up, 212-433-9692. Doug Lederman from Inside Higher Ed going through this for you. Tax credits also to help students pay tuition.
Other probably fairly significant piece in there that would help families rather than students. Basically, tax credits have historically been seen as primarily a way to help the middle class. The big way that this would change it is it would make, both bills would make the tax credit, higher education tax credit, refundable. And what that means is that even if you don't, partially refundable, even if you don't pay enough in taxes to get a refund, which is how tax credits usually work, you could qualify for it. And so basically what that means is it would make it more available to lower income families. there's real debate about whether tax policy is the best way to help really needy students, because you only get the money after you've already paid it. So if you're really needy, you may not have the money up front to be able to afford it in the first place. But this bill would, apparently, there was a study out yesterday that said it would make 4 million lower income students eligible for this tax credit that then have been available under the current one, the HOPE tax credit.
Are Pell grants are grants. They're not loans.
Exactly. That's the big difference between, I mean, Pell, you know, there's our financial aid system has grants, loans, and then tax credits. And basically, the grants are the best way to help the really needy, because it's money up front that helps you pay when your tuition bill comes. Loans are obviously you have to pay them back. And then tax credits and tax deductions tend to help more, you know, you have to have the money up front to typically be able to pay it. And then you get it, you know, you get help at tax time when you get sort of refunded. And so basically, and so the big difference here between what's currently the policy and what it would be going forward is that if you don't pay very much in taxes or not in anything in taxes, you could still get some money back for your college costs. So that's the big difference there.
And with respect to loans, it looks like there's a provision in here that increases subsidies to banks for private student loan programs. Is that a good way to do it?
Well, that's only in the House bill, and I suspect that's going to be pretty aggressively fought. There's been huge uproar over the last couple of years. I mean, part of the big economic crisis we've been having generally was presaged a little bit by some real problems in the student loan industry. A bunch of lenders went out of business. Congress cut the subsidies for lenders over the last couple of years. There's debate about whether they cut them too much, and this is an effort to bring them back up a little bit, and I think there's going to be some real dispute over whether that's a smart thing to do.
After our experience with the TARP bill, I'm skeptical about anything that gives the money directly to the banks.
Institutions, yeah, that's a there's some real questions about that, but there's partisans on both sides who will argue that. But it'll be interesting to see whether that emerges. It's not very much money in the grand scheme of these many billions, but it's still a policy question.
Also in this bill, and it's not getting much press, is $6 billion to help construction and renovation of schools at the higher ed level.
Right.
Did you see this coming? Is there a precedent for the federal government helping to actually build colleges and universities?
Not much. There are certain programs in which there's some small programs in the education department, there's been some history of research facilities being built by research agencies. Some of the National Institutes of Health and the National Science Foundation have done some facilities work. But no, this is relatively new terrain. Probably the other thing you haven't mentioned yet, but I figure you're going to get to it, is this whole the stabilization fund, where the federal government will be sending money back to the states to try to patch up holes in their budgets that are requiring them to cut both high school and K-12 and higher education programs, and there's $39 billion that would flow back to the states over the next 2 years to try to get them to try and keep their budgets, their higher ed and K-12 budgets, at the levels they were at in 2008. And that's completely uncharted territory. That's just a block grant that would be. We haven't seen anything quite like it before.
Huh. And on the construction,
yep.
Who decides which schools get the money?
Well, they would go in grants to the states, and the states, it would flow through the education department, but the states would make those decisions.
Uh-huh.
And they're supposed to be, you know, the big phrase everybody's been throwing around is this whole shovel-ready program. So presumably you've got colleges and schools out there that are dusting off their proposals and getting them ready to get in line.
So many schools want to build new infrastructure, right?
Absolutely.
Updated science labs, computer equipment, whatever it is.
Correct.
But only for public colleges and universities?
Well, that's a little bit still up in the air. The language only mentions public colleges, but I have been assured that private colleges, assuming the states have a mechanism for having money flow to private colleges, that are supposed to be eligible. They did not mean to exclude private colleges. So I think that may vary from state to state whether private colleges benefit, but they were intended to get some of this money.
Here's a question from Sean in Hackensack. Sean, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi. I was wondering about the Pell Grant part that they said. I'm wondering how that would stimulate the economy. I just had two girls finish college, and they're the grant made a little bit of a difference, but not really much.
Well, that's a very interesting question, and I think there were some real when the House Appropriations Committee was considering this last week, there were some pretty serious questions from Republicans about whether student grant money belongs in a stimulus bill. I mean, there's certainly an argument to be made here that some of what this bill is about is having the new Obama administration be able to achieve some of its goals and to do so under the umbrella of this emergency. I mean, I just got off the phone with George Miller. He was doing a conference call with reporters about the education pieces of this bill, and they're very much seeing this as an emergency that they have to fix. And they're sort of the thesis behind the student aid piece is that. It's about students. Students tend to go back to college when the economy is down, and to either get retraining or to get things that help them prepare to be in the workforce. The other honest piece of it is that, I mean, George Miller just said so on the phone, is that there is a fear that there will be lots of layoffs of both K-12 teachers and university faculty and staff if schools have to cut the number of students. Out in California, you see enrollments being limited. So in that respect,
it's a jobs program
to some extent. It's for the education professionals, and it's in
K-12. The new education secretary Arne Duncan says it'll save hundreds of thousands of
correct.
Teacher layoffs.
We
just have a minute left.
Sure.
Here's a post on our webpage that says here in Georgia, they cut higher ed budgets and pushed it onto the students. Mm-hmm. I figure anything will help. Our tuition has gone up by $700, which isn't horrible, but doesn't help graduate students who are living paycheck
right.
to paycheck. So most of the funding in the stimulus package is geared toward financial aid, helping people pay for college. But why isn't there a focus on making colleges and universities more affordable in the first place?
Well, I think Congress passed this big higher ed bill last year, renews the Higher Education Act, which is the main federal law on higher education, every 5 years, and it did so last year and imposed a bunch of requirements that colleges sort of make clear. It created this sort of wall of shame of colleges that increase their tuition so much. I mean, the idea here is that traditionally, for better or worse, when states cut colleges' budgets, they raise their tuition to make up for it. The goal here is, particularly with the stabilization fund, the $39 billion, is that if Congress sends money back to the states, it will forestall
all right.
tuition increases. That's the hope on Congress's part.
Where we have to leave it for
sure.
today. A lot of good stuff from Doug Letterman from Inside Higher Education. He's the editor explaining the higher ed portions of the Senate and House stimulus bills. Colleges and universities hurting so much, endowments way down and everything else. Doug, thanks for filling us in.
You bet. Thanks for your time.
And,
appreciate
of course,
it.
We'll continue to dig into details of the stimulus bill and continue to follow higher ed as we always do. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.